Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens.
Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Tom.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome into the National Defense. Nate Herron here in the studio, and we are joined by legendary actor and comedian Tim Allen. Tim, how are you?
You know, I'm really good. My daughter just wandered by, and I hate making jokes. I'm not sure exactly what she was talking about. She looked at me, and I go, "Are you?" She's got to go to work today, and I said, "Where are you going?" She goes, and she's whispering. So anyway, good morning. I'm sorry.
My kids are wandering around too. They want Buzz Lightyear, and I said, "Well, I'm not sure we're talking about that today." But they're unfortunately only in fourth grade and second grade, so I can get them to mow the lawn, and that's about it. So
that's all they talk about. They just went to somebody's house, and this little girl didn't want to say anything to anybody until someone mentioned it was Buzz Lightyear, and then I end up doing the Buzz Lightyear voice, and the first thing is the kid starts, looks like she's going to start crying, like, this ugly old man ate Buzz Lightyear. That's his voice coming out of this guy standing there.
Well, we're based out of Kansas City, but we're airing, of course, all across the world on American Forces Network, and we've got one of your co-stars from the Santa Claus, Eric Stonestreet, who was, Mad Santa, I believe?
Yeah.
Talked to him over the holidays, opened up a thing with him, and he talked about how much he enjoyed his experience working with you. But you're heading back to the boob tube, little ABC Shifting Gears, new series you filmed, huh?
Yeah, It's a long story I'll make short. We were doing the Santa Claus the final of three shows of that series for Disney Plus, and somebody had seen me in Vegas at my stand-up residency at the Mirage at that point, and somebody said, "I didn't realize that you had this kind of attitude stand-up," and it was a young producer, and said, "Would you ever think of doing another TV show?" And I said, "You know, I would, only because streaming is kind of creeping me out about trying to find shows. And I love network TV and didn't like the censorship of it when I was a young, because I swear a lot on my stand up. Beware. It's not inappropriate material. I just, you know, can't think of a better word, so I swear a lot."
Sure.
And I said, I'd do a show, and I wanted to have, a military presence, which my son in the show is from the Navy, and I have another worker in my car shop from the Army, because I like that conflict. I always like when I do gigs for any one of the armed services, they all dog each other, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. You don't really know what you're doing. So the Navy, one of my buddies in the Navy, and my Army brat brother brothers or that go, yeah, what did you do in the Navy? What did you say more than anything in the Navy? And the guy says, yeah, mail call. And so he worked on an aircraft carrier, and every time we talk about his experience in the Navy, he does laugh. People, oh, thank you for your service. What was your service? He goes, I was the mail clerk on an aircraft carrier. So there are a lot of jobs in the military that are interesting. And so the show is about a car guy who lost his wife, and his son's home from, you know, finished his gig in the Navy from San Diego, comes up to help his dad up in North Hollywood, California, and his daughter is in some trouble, so she moves back home with her two kids. So I've got my kids back with me and my grandchildren, and I've got a big hot rod car shop. So I get to, I've gone from tools to outdoor stuff to my other love, which is cars, and I get to deal with loss, what it's like to have somebody in pain. And he's a fun guy, and he's a motivational guy, and a little curmudgeon-y and older, and that's, and it, we shot the pilot, and I love it. Kat Dennings, who was on Two Broke Girls, played mm-hmm. my daughter. And the relationship there, it sold it, and the son is, everybody about it is good. It's, do I want to be doing this at my age? I don't know. I said, stand-up is what I love right now. I've been doing it for 40 years. And doing live TV with the audience is kind of a combination of theater, which mm-hmm. I like, and stand-up, which I adore, and then doing TV. So we're back at called Switching Gears, and we'll know ABC's looking at it. It's really a good pilot, so chances are you'll see it in the fall.
Well, you got Tim Allen, you got Kat Dennings. I mean, that's back on ABC where you had so much success with Home Improvement. You're listening to the National Defense. We got Tim Allen. Now, Tim, you have you're doing some stand-up. We want to make sure we let folks know that you are performing at the beautiful Akron Civic Theater on June 29th. Have you performed there before?
This is a funny story because it's Akron comes up. I've done all around Ohio. I've done Michigan, the Midwest, Indiana, God, so much. I started my career took off because of a gig in Akron, and it's always been in my act. It's been in anything I've done, so I'm so cool to be back at Akron. Is I did a Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company corporate event a long, long time ago, and it was, you know, you get a very little bit of money to stand up there during dinner and do a little bit of comedy, and these guys, dinner was late, so they're eating while I'm talking.
Right.
Annoying. So all I hear is men grumbling, wasn't listening to me, I was giving up everything, and out of frustration, I started grunting like I was listening. So I was going, oh, 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 oh. These guys burst out laughing, turned around, and we started talking about how men grunt when they point to food and how they don't talk during eating and how they do it when they're doing their chores, mowing lawns, and all of a sudden my whole career changed because I started talking about men's stuff from a perspective of, the grunt work that men do.
Sure.
And I became the tool man, and that turned into a 3-year stretch where I was on the road selling out places and eventually sold it to Showtime. And that eventually that Showtime special turned into Home Improvement. So everything started with that frickin' night in Akron where I wasn't all that happy about that gig, and that gig turned into a life-changing thing.
Now the good people there in Central Ohio, Akron Cannon.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Swing
it.
In over to the Hall of Fame or maybe get some Harry London chocolate. You know, but that theater is just a gorgeous, 1920s. The entryway itself is worth the price
of improvement. I love that format, and I said it's one of the reasons why I'm still doing stand-up.
We're listening to Tim Allen here on the National Defense. We just got a couple minutes left with you. Tim, you have been a great supporter of the U.S. military and our veterans. Do you have any favorite stories of time that you've gone on to, aircraft carriers or military bases and met some of our soldiers?
I got the captain or pilot, I don't know what they call it, a submarine, L.A. class attack sub. And I'm constantly annoying the commander because I'm a geeky guy into this stuff. And I said, how deep can this thing go? And he goes, he just stared at me. And he goes, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah, that's classified.
And then I go, well, okay, mister, I'm not a communist. And he goes, well, how fast does it go? And he goes, Jesus, Mr. Allen. And I every time I'd ask a question, it was like how much, it was a secret. He kind of got a little bit pissed at me. The other one was I was in a Abrams tank. They let me drive an Abrams tank, the Marines, and I'm hauling across a desert, and it's bouncing around, but I've never been anything like this. There's no experience like a tank. I've always wanted to be in tanks. I wanted to enlist during Vietnam to go, because then you could pick your service instead of being drafted. You don't want to be drafted. And I went in, I said, as long as I can be in an M60 tank. And the guy said, well, they're not really doing that well in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Tanks aren't as useful as they are because the ground, it doesn't accept them. And so I've always been a tank guy. So I'm in an Abrams tank, and I'm hauling across the desert. And the commanders up top bounce around and go, hey, Mr. Allen, have you ever driven a tank before? And I'm really doing like 45 miles an hour across the desert. I go, nope. But it's a motorcycle grip. You lay prone. Can you see where you're going? And there's a prism. And I go, not really. He goes, well, see those prism lines on the left and right side of those? Or an altimeter or something like that. And that shows that the tank's above or below its pivot point. And I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. He says, I didn't think so. If it gets over 6 feet, the tank doesn't fly. It goes nose down, the barrel hits, and we flip on our top, and everybody dies except you.
No pressure.
And I went, oh, boo, slow it down. He goes, that's why I'm called the commander. And then we did this a couple times, and then he said, you listen to me, and we could go have some fun, but you do not move until you hear from me. And I love the fact that he let me do it and almost killed us, and did the same thing for the Air Force, and I think it was a Hornet. They let me co-pilot for a little bit, and I'm doing aileron rolls, and once again, I start going crazy. And he goes, do you feel anything weird, Mr. Allen? I go, yeah, the thing is starting to shudder. The whole plane is shuddering. He goes, that's because you've done so many rolls, you're slowing the airspeed down, it's going to fall. And I go, well, what do we do about it? He goes, you better figure it out. You're the one that's caused all this.
You put it in a stall, you get it out.
You get it out of the stall, and I go, well, what are you doing? Well, there's a lever on your left there, if you go, that gives the engine more. And I went right from middle to the top afterburner. He goes, well, let's not go there, because then we get into the sound barrier thing. So I've had such a, I'm such a fan. I'm such a, you know, I always wanted to be in the military, but I didn't want to be yelled at by a drill instructor. I said I probably would have punched him. I would have been in the jail most of the time.
Yeah.
I said I was a pretty good strategist, and it's all about supply lines, as I told some of my military guys. But
well,
yeah,
you're a pretty great entertainer as well. Again, tickets available at Ticketmaster.com for the stand-up show at the Akron Civic Center, Civic Theater on June 29th. And, of course, we look forward to hoping you get our fingers crossed for Shifting Gears on ABC. Tim, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks for being there, man.
My name is Ariel. I'm a strategic sourcing specialist at the Disneyland Resort. Transitioning out of the military is challenging. It can be one of the hardest things you've ever done. That challenge became the beginning of my journey. The military fellowship program allowed me to find the next chapter. It's the pathway to help veterans transition into the private sector. The Walt Disney Company does a great job of letting veterans know that they have a home here and can help them continue to give back to the community and build long-lasting relationships and create magic.
Hey, you know, as a veteran, you know the importance of staying connected to friends and family. And that's why you choose T-Mobile. They offer active duty military and veterans exclusive discounts like 40% off family lines. I mean, 40% off. That's huge. And the price you see is the price you pay with taxes and fees included. Plus, T-Mobile puts service members and military spouses first with employment initiatives and ongoing community investments. Visit T-Mobile.com/military-discounts to learn more. 40% off additional price for military family lines 2 to 6 versus Go 5G with auto pay discount. Verify military service within 45 days or pay up to $20 more per line per month. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in monthly rate plan price. See T-Mobile.com.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post-9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hi friends, RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Toscano's Master Age Cigars. For all those who enjoy Kentucky fire-cured tobacco comes Toscano's Premium Blend. Micro-fermented, flame-cured, aged, then aged an additional 360 days, all under the daily watch of an affinatore. Some have called this Toscano's Masterpiece. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Don't get in the water until you hear this program. It's about to happen again. Shark Fest. That's Nat Geo's annual summer viewing event. 4 weeks long. Kicks off June 30th. And it starts streaming on July 1st, Disney and Hulu. And here to talk about some shark stuff, Dr. Mike Heithouse is with us. Marine biologist, executive dean of the College of Arts, Sciences, and Education, and professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Florida International University. Mike, you seem like a guy that knows his sharks.
You know, I have been fortunate enough to spend a lot of time with them.
So what is our fascination with sharks?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's a combination of they're really mysterious and we don't know a lot about them. Some of these species are big and dangerous. And, you know, when we go in the water, we are kind of feel at their mercy. And I think you kind of put that fear, fascination, and mystery together. And, you know, people just want to know more about them or see more sharks. And, you know, we're lucky enough to be able to do that for a whole month on Nat Geo with Shark Fest.
It's kind of funny, though. You know, I was talking to somebody else, another marine biologist, a friend of mine, about the octopus. I mean, the octopus is also equally mysterious and a lot is not known about it, but doesn't have that kind of fascination that the sharks do.
True. Now, I mean, not to take away from how cool an octopus is, but, you know, they don't have that size and kind of danger piece, I think.
Well, that's true.
You know, and I think that's kind of the fascination of dinosaurs, too, right? You know, these giant things that could have been really dangerous. I think there's that piece as well. But, you know, I mean, there are many very cool, very small things that aren't necessarily going to get their month on Nat Geo.
Yeah. We're talking to Dr. Mike Heithouse here on the National Defense, and of course, Shark Fest kicking off on June 30th, Nat Geo. And some of these different weeks that you guys are doing, this is pretty fun. This Ross Edgley guy, what is up with this guy? He he gained 22 pounds in 24 hours in his attempts to eat like a tiger shark. How is that possible?
Ross is just an incredible guy. I mean, he is an extreme athlete. So, you know, you think, you know, you hear somebody's eating that much and you're thinking, you know, the certain food eating contest, but he is an extreme athlete. He swam around the entire United Kingdom. And I wish I had his percent body fat, which is about, like, can that go negative? And so just this incredible athlete, but he just has this ability to shape and mold his body through eating and working out. And we wanted to compare how much he could eat relative to a tiger shark. So Ross got to, you know, gorge himself and then, you know, decided to make, I talked to my forensic buddies that work with the military. And I said, I need to make bite pads for sharks out of something non-toxic. And they're like, oh, we can do that with our ballistic gelatin.
We're talking to Dr. Mike Heithouse here on the National Defense. And, yeah, you know, you talked about the military. Our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families. And, man, do they get into stuff like this? I mean, especially we've had so many Navy SEALs on the program. And, you know, they've had to encounter sharks. They've had to learn how to deal with them. And I'm sure that's a big part of the training, right?
Yeah, you know, you really have to understand how to deal with these animals. And they're not the mindless killing machines they get portrayed as. And, you know, probably most of the, you know, your listeners who have been in the water and seen sharks, it's been kind of at a distance fleeting, because usually they're much more afraid of us than we are of them. Because, you know, you put fins on and you're a pretty big thing. Most sharks only eat things about maybe 10% of their own body size. And so, you know, they're not super, you know, we are super scary to them. But at the same time, you have to know what to look for, because, you know, if sharks start getting annoyed or sharks start showing too much interest, that's when you know you need to, you know, be exiting stage left.
Yeah. Have you yourself had any kind of a bad encounter with a shark?
You know, I have been really lucky to not have any really bad encounters. I had one gray reef shark who really wanted my fin very badly. And he didn't take it, but if he wanted it, he was welcome to it. But that was one of those examples where you started to see these very calm sharks and one starts to get a little bit interested. And that's like time to get to the boat and let it have its space. And, you know, that's one species we know that can get a little bit aggressive and maybe a bit territorial, whereas, you know, others like great hammerhead sharks, you know, tend to be very placid and easy to be in the water with. So, you know, it's great to be working with scientists and camera folks that have tons of experience with this. And so we can do things that may look really extreme, but are actually pretty safe because of the teams we've got together and the experience.
And as part of this the Shark Fest here that starts on June 30th, Nat Geo, you talk about the attack of the Red Sea sharks, where they've killed three tourists in Egypt in less than a year, huh?
Yeah, and again, I mean, if you think globally, I mean, I think there were 10 fatalities last year total. So shark attacks are really, really rare. But, you know, sometimes we have things happen where we get concentrations and we wonder what's going on, you know, and sometimes it's, or usually, if you get concentrations and it's not just random chance, it's because it's something that people are doing. Mm. You know, like there have been times in the past where people start dumping garbage in an area or start, you know, the scraps of fish and, you know, that attracts sharks in.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's where most people say, what can I do to the beach to not get attacked by a shark? And the answer is driving to the beach is way more dangerous than, you know, a shark, or, you know, for your folks that are in the water, like rip currents. There's a lot of things in the ocean that are actually much more deadly than sharks, but there's still, you know, you need to be aware of your surroundings. If you're worried, you know, there's some areas where there are lots of sharks. As white shark populations come back and your seal colonies, you maybe don't want to be there. If there's murky water or lots of bait fish, you know, those are things that could put you at a heightened risk of encountering a shark. But still, it's a very, very rare occurrence. But, you know, there is this mystery in the Red Sea, and people are going to see a team of scientists go out there and try to figure out exactly what's going on.
You should always vacation with a marine biologist. I will just give you that point. This is going to be fun. Shark Fest kicks off on June 30th, 26 hours of viewing, and then streams July 1st on Disney and Hulu. Dr. Mike, thank you so much, man. It's a fascinating conversation.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
What was once thought inviolate is facing its greatest challenge yet. Free speech, the First Amendment, is under threat like never before. And the cases of Julian Assange and the hot release of the Amazon files show us exactly why.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now, Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full-throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475-horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer from legendary Direct Connection Performance Parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Come celebrate the 40th anniversary of the veteran-owned Sandwichery at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. This mom-and-pop restaurant has been serving up delicious, quick, and fresh, made-to-order sandwiches with generous portions at a great price for 40 years. Enjoy a club sandwich, pastrami corned beef, a Californian with turkey, avocado, and cheese, an egg salad sandwich, roast beef, chicken salad, and I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. They also have vegetarian sandwiches and much more. Plus, hot dogs and homemade soups, potato salad, and big bakery-style cookies. Sandwichery is also a destination featuring unique World War II decor with inside dining and outside shaded patio seating. Sandwichery, celebrating their 40th anniversary this July. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. Sandwichery, dine in or take out. Call 530-246-2020. That's 530-246-2020.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we're so happy to have back on the program. I mean, this guy's done so much great work lately also, but I mean, Dances with Wolves, Fields of Dream, Yellowstone. Kevin Costner is on with us here at the National Defense. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I just read a review of your band, Modern West, that somebody wrote the last time you guys were touring, and they could not say enough great things about you. Are you getting the band back together at some point?
Well, the band was with me on Horizon. We wrote three of the tunes that are in it.
Oh, wow.
It's a traditionally scored movie. So if you see it, I mean, it's 92 piece symphony, out of Scotland. So the music is really great, but, I bring the band with me. I killed a few of them in the battle. Everybody wants to be in the movie. So if they want to be in it, I said, all right, I'm going to kill you.
This is so good. We're talking about Horizon, an American saga. I can't wait to see this thing on Friday. And you span the 4 years of the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. And, Kevin, the thing I love about your storytelling is that you really go to great lengths to explore every side of the story, right?
Yeah, I try to, you know, and really what it is, it actually, Randy, it's about a 12-year span. It starts before the Civil War. It doesn't really deal with the Civil War that much. It's just during that era, it's what was going on out in the West was so dangerous because the Great War was going back and forth between the North and South. And what happened was there was no military out in the middle of America, and people were kind of on their own. Mm. When that Civil War was over, the West closed up, and we say it in the movie, in a blink of an eye. And 20 years later, it was over. You know, it's incredibly sad. It's our story, but that's what happened. Yeah. I do like nuance in movies. I think it's the thing you come back to watch. I think it's the thing you tell somebody about when you think you've seen something you've never seen before.
Yeah, we're talking to Kevin Costner here in the National Defense and the American saga Horizon, which opens on Friday. And it's not just one movie. It's not just two movies. It's four movies. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's kind of thing I wish somebody would have made for me. I just love taking a journey with people, seeing how their lives unfold, how they unwind, how they fall apart, and how, in certain instances, they succeed, because that's really what happened. You know, we think of it, the West is almost a land in Disneyland, in a way, and we forget that there was a 200, 300-year struggle out here. Right now, we're traveling the world in airplanes and cars and whatever, but there was 300 years of where people were scratching it out, where they were fighting it out, where they were just trying to feed themselves, stay clean, where another group of people were fighting for their way of life that they'd known for thousands of years. It's interesting, it's colorful, and it's not simple.
Yeah, and that's what I love that. I mean, saga is definitely the right word for a project of this kind of scope. And not only did you finance it, I mean, you also direct it, you produce it, you co-wrote it. I mean, this thing is the idea has been bouncing around in your head for quite a while, right?
Yeah, since 1988.
Wow.
I commissioned the first story, and there was something traditional about it. It, you know, was two guys, a town already existed. And what I really wanted to do is, like, every Western starts that way, right? The town's already there, like mushrooms just magically came up. But in truth, every town in America, a stake was put in it. It was contested. There were people that had lived there in harmony for a long time. And I wanted to show origins of how things happen and also kind of show that it just happens in inches. And there's all kinds of people that occupy this story, people, salesmen in Chicago who are telling people there's land out there that they can have. They're making money off people, and people go there, and it's not there. And I just want people to really think about how hard-scrabbled people were that actually made it.
Yeah, and you've got so many great actors in this. Sienna Miller, Sam Worthington, Giovanni Ribisi, so good. And did you bring anybody along from Yellowstone?
No, I didn't do that. I wanted to try to distance myself from something too familiar. Mm. I do have old friends and there's actors in Yellowstone that I'd like to work with again in the right thing, in the right moment. But yeah, no, I had three or four people that I've acted with that I knew could bubble up parts that I needed to have, really quality actors. But, it's my women that are kind of the star of this whole thing. They really drive, every singing almost has a woman driving the plot right down the middle of it.
Oh, that's cool. And, you know, I would imagine, Ken, we're talking to Kevin Costner here on the National Defense, An American Saga, Horizon, which opens on Friday, the first movie. And then that's Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Friday, August 16th. And, you know, you talk about Native Americans have got to love this kind of a exploration of their past, too, because, like you say, a lot of that gets lost in Westerns.
Yeah, they're human beings, and they, you know, long to be portrayed as that. You know, they have pride. They weren't people that were fighting to build a bridge or fighting for land to put up their first hardware store. They were fighting for their way of life, you know, for their religion, for their children, for their neighbor next door in their little tent. You know, people live lightly on the ground here. It was not like Europe at all. America was like the Garden of Eden. It was untouched, really. And it was a one-sided fight, and I just can't help but want to talk about the level of confusion that had to exist among the tribes, how women could be upset with their men just the way women get upset with us. I think when you portray those things, what happens is you lean into a movie. You know, and I don't want people to be confused by an R. Yes, there's violence, but I think when parents or whatever go see this movie, I think their first thought is going to be, you know what? I think our son should see this. Hmm. I think our daughter should see this. You know, yes, it's violent, but you know what? This is an authentic look at the way this went down, and they should see what their great-great-grandmothers went through.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was. Yeah, that's the way it was. I mean, you know, sometimes the truth is hard to watch and hard to accept, but that's who we...
It's definitely more entertaining than the lie. It really is. I mean, you know, when a guy's gun shoots more than six times, who's supposed to believe that?
Right.
There's a lot of drama in reloading. And so, honestly, what happens is when you see somebody that looks like you and then you suddenly wonder what you would have done in that particular situation, that means you're leaning in. If you're watching a scene and you're thinking, oh, thank God I never had to go through that, that means you're leaning in. When you see 200 people killed and you don't have a feeling at all about it, then you're numb.
Yeah.
And we have somehow forgotten that the people that lived here became an inconvenience in their own country.
Hmm. Wow. We're talking to Kevin Costner here in the National Defense, The American Saga, Horizon, which opens on Friday. And, Kevin, I mean, obviously, since you've been thinking about this since 1988 and you've obviously done so much research into that period of time, what was the biggest thing that surprised you when you were doing the research?
Well, I'm not sure that anything really surprised me, to be honest, because I have been reading a long time. This isn't a true story, but every vignette in this thing happened a million times out there, and you just have to believe that. It was just longer and harder, and the country was bigger than anyone ever imagined. And the truth was, when people got to where they were going, they were stuck. They weren't going back, and they had to fight it out. They had to figure out how to feed their children, how to stay clean, how to live in whatever environment they happened to stop, and they had to deal with people who had been there for thousands of years. It makes for a real adventure.
I was reading some information here from, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, Tatanka Means, who portrays... Was it
Tuckersham? Yeah.
In the movie. And he says, he talks about speaking the language, the White Mountain Apache dialect for the film. He said, I spoke Apache once in the past. It's very close to the Navajo dialect I grew up with on the Navajo Nation. And I say that because the Navajo code talkers, I got to interview them one time. And it's those kinds of stories of our past that never get presented. I mean, those code talkers, that's why we won. I mean, that's, you know, they're credited with the success of the war. And there's so many things like that, especially in the military, that never get talked about. So credit to you for unearthing some of those things.
No, it's really true. You know, I went to Camp Pendleton yesterday to talk to show the movie, The Trips, and I stared out there and I had to walk my life back. I was in 1968. I was 13 years old, and I went down to Camp Pendleton because my brother had volunteered at 17 years old to join the Marines and go to Vietnam.
Wow.
And my dad begged him not to do it, but it was just something inside of him that he felt that he needed to go. And so I remember I went down to Camp Pendleton and watched him graduate boot camp. And they wouldn't let him go to Nam until he was 18. So he was a Marine at 17, and he became a veteran at 18. And
in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
I'm Dan, and I'm a manager of supplier diversity at the Walt Disney Company. I enlisted in the Army when I was 17 years old, did a quick 30 years after that, and got out in 2017. Leaving that after 30 years, it's a scary thing. Figuring out how do I get where I want to be, that was the biggest challenge. I was looking for a company that I felt just as proud to work for that I did while I was in uniform. I remember one day I was driving home and I said, I'm going to be a cast member at Walt Disney World. A few weeks later it happened, so it was just a seamless transition, and I knew I'd made the right decision on which company to come to.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post-9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Do summer projects your way with 4th of July savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with 4th of July savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the clutter factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the death of the salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the National Defense. It's time now for a brand new segment that we are excited about, the American Dream. The people that give us our chance to have our American Dream, we're trying to let them have their American Dream. And today, it's former submariner Ryan Brown is with us, and he and his wife, Iman, have started a wonderful company. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well today.
So, We Are Wonderfully Made is the name of your company. And I've read about the origins of this, and this it's this wonderful sauces that come our way, kind of by the way of Trinidad, right?
That's correct, yes.
And so your wife, Iman, talk about her a little bit, because I think she kind of discovered this, and she's the CEO of the company. How did you guys get started on this ride?
Yeah, so my wife, her family is actually from Trinidad, and one day my wife's grandmother just took her into the kitchen and taught her how to make pepper sauce. So, you know, my wife growing up never was a fan of the traditional hot sauces. They either tasted like vinegar or they were just too hot for the sake of heat. And she, you know, just took to the sauce. She really enjoyed what her grandmother had made and showed her how to do. And, you know, that kind of just became the catalyst for where we are today, where she took the family recipe and wanted to bring it to market. When you look at the hot sauce industry, you don't see a lot of representation from Trinidad and Tobago. And so we wanted to be able to fill that gap, fill that void.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, any type of those kind of authentic flavor sauces or anything like that, I mean, I'm always partial to those, because you're right. You don't get to sample a lot of that kind of stuff. Ryan, talk about your career in the military a little bit.
Absolutely. So when I joined the military, I joined the military out of college. I enlisted in the submarine community and spent about 4 years as an enlisted sailor on board submarines. And then after my 4 years, I commissioned as an officer and spent the remaining time on, you know, of my career as a surface warfare officer. And so got to see a lot of the world, got to experience a lot of things, did some things that people will never really know anything about, but it was a very fun experience. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about sort of how to handle things in a professional sense, and transitioned all of those skills into where I am today.
I mean, you basically grew up in the military, right?
Yeah, essentially. You know, I literally left college, joined the military almost immediately, and spent the next decade in the service. So.
On a sub.
Yeah, on a sub.
Man, I got to tell you, that's a special breed of character that can do that. I just interviewed the two guys who wrote the latest Tom Clancy novel.
Okay.
And one of those guys was a submariner. And, I mean, to have that kind of mentality, there's just not a lot of people who can hang with you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How was your transition out?
Oh, my transition out was very interesting. I was medically retired due to some injuries I sustained while in service. And so my transition was pretty abrupt. I was in one day and the next day I was gone. And that's literally the story there. It took me a little bit to kind of catch up to what was happening and figure out how to take those skills and turn it into something that I could be proud of. It just took some time. That transition is pretty rough. You don't realize how different life is outside of the military until you're there.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you for your service. And it just occurs to me now that when you transitioned out, your wife has started this company, We Are Wonderfully Made. Did you just get in her way for a while?
I won't say that I got in her way, but we definitely had to spend some time figuring out how to work together and play to each other's strengths.
And so when did the company start?
So we started the company while I was still on active duty back in 2018. That's when we first came up with the idea. And then we incorporated the company in 2020, right as COVID hit. And that was really our first year of business, that early 2020.
Well, talk about the name a little bit. I love the name of your company. We Are Wonderfully Made.
Yeah, so when my wife came up with the name, it tied a lot into trying to provide people with positive affirmations about who they are and what they're capable of, but also tied into some scripture. There's a Bible verse that talks about you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And a lot of that went into how she came up with the name, to be a positive reminder for people, you know, just in their day-to-day life, but also to talk about just the root at which we created the company, where, you know, our products are wonderfully thought and thoughtfully made with our customer in mind, to be able to, you know, give them something positive, give them something healthy, so they don't have to sacrifice, you know, their health, their well-being for something that's out there in the market.
Yeah, and so where are you guys right now? I mean, in terms of company size, in terms of product size, I know you want to get bigger, obviously, and I know I love your website. I think the website is fantastic.
That is all my wife.
Is that right? Man,
that
I'll tell you what, she did an incredible job on that website. And you guys are in a few, I think you started out in some farmers markets in San Diego, and then got to some stores there in New Jersey. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. So when we began our company in 2020, I was still stationed in California over at the 32nd Street base on board one of the ships out there. And we had, you know, hopes of, you know, going to trade shows and, you know, doing all the different, you know, B2B kind of business opportunities that were out there. But then COVID hit and the world shut down. And so we pivoted to the farmers market circuit, and we started selling our product in the farmers markets out in California, up and down, you know, Southern California, from San Diego all the way up to Coachella area.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, we were all over the place.
What is the best place for people if they want to order from the website? Is it just wawm.com?
Wawm sauce.
WAWMsauce.com. And they can order directly from the website. You have told me I need to order the mango, so I will order the mango. I'm excited about that. Where do you guys kind of see yourself here? Where do you want to be as a company?
As a company, I'd like to be in large size grocery stores, you know, the Whole Foods, the ShopRites, the Wegmans, the Albertsons, those kind of stores. We'd love to be in all of these big name grocery stores across the country. But outside of that, we just want to become a staple in people's homes. You know, a hot sauce that's both flavorful and offers the right amount of heat, that's very versatile. We want people to be able to enjoy it and not have to consume a bunch of unhealthy ingredients in a process.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We're going to see, you know, since you're part of the force that makes our American dream possible, we're going to see if we can make your American dream possible. So, Ryan, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for the time today. Once again, WAWMSauce.com is where you can find it. And I look forward to some mango.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.